Good morning. Good morning. My name is Good morning. Good morning. My name is Mississippi Cox. I reside here in the Bronx, and we go to Tag Today, Accepting Others Wednesday. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, thanking you. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord Jesus. You didn't have to, but you did. Father God, thank you right now for our laying down and waking up. Lord, oh Lord, I know that in this life we will have trouble. But thank you that you can know that we don't have to lose heart because you have overcome the world. Pray for the Angelio family this morning, Lord, for Father's connection. Pray for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Robinson. Special prayer for Dr. P.K. Robinson's family. Pray for the speaker that's going to download the information this morning. Touch us, each and every one. Pray for the TMC and the guests that join us today. Oh, Lord, go by the hospital, the nursing home. Touch someone this morning, Lord. God, pray for the bereaving family this morning, Lord. God is good. It's good to be good. It's good to do good. God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. Host, are you there? Good morning.
I am Minister Cynthia. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Please take it away. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. You also. God bless you, mighty woman of God. Good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every single one of you. My name is Minister Robin, and I'm going to greet you just as Minister Cynthia did to the Master's Call. We are so glad that you are here with us, and today is a day that our Lord has made, and we are rejoicing because we know that we serve an awesome God. So welcome, welcome, welcome to our call. This call was founded by two wonderful women of God, Dr. P.K. Roberts. She is known as Miss Super Fantastic, and our precious mother eagle, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. We love them, and we thank God for their faithfulness to him, to us, to you, and this call. And we were founded in October 2010, actually on October 25th. We have an awesome scripture that we stand on, and you can locate it in Psalms 88:13, and it reads, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." We are about the Master's assignment he has given us, and that is praying for the body of Christ, praying for you, rejoicing with you. And our mission statement is, to enrich, to enhance, and empower believers as they begin their day. All of our messages are on a website. We have an email address for you, and I'm going to give you all of that information. We are brought to you live every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, and we start at 7 to 7:30 Central Standard, 5 to 5:30 Pacific, 6 to 6:30 Mountain, 8 to 8:30 Eastern. So we have a time for everybody. And if you would like to find out more about us, because I can't tell you everything right now, feel free to go to our website, and it is www.themasterscall.net. On our website, you're going to find out we are fasting. It's not too late for you to join us. We have an awesome theme. Our theme is, through me, miracle signs and wonders are being seen. All of our prayer directors are on our website. So join us if you can. And again, you can go to www.themasterscall.net. And as I mentioned, we are about praying. If you have a prayer request, if you have a praise report, if you would like to be part of our team, if God has given you a word and you want to bring it forward to the body of Christ, you can send all of that to our email address. And our email address is info@themasterscall.net. Again, info@themasterscall.net. And many of us, we are artists, entrepreneurs, business individuals. We own businesses, and that has been made possible through an awesome family, and their name is the Diaz de Leon family, and they own Artists International. Our company has some awesome products that are changing lives. People are being set free. People are being healed. We don't make any medical claims, but we know God is faithful. They are sold out to the Lord, and our products are making a difference in their lives. We have a new morning motivational call that we go to, we listen to, we are encouraged. We want to thank our platinum president, Dorothy Cook. She's the one who founded that call, and she has passed that baton on to a team of wonderful leaders who, as I mentioned, teach us, encourage us, and train us. And if you, being an artist entrepreneur, you have that number, but I'll give it to you again. It is 641-715-3865, PIN code 539-598 pound, and it's immediately following this call. Again, 641-715-3865, PIN code 539-598 pound. And if you're not yet an artist entrepreneur, get back to the person that invited you to this call. So what I'm going to do right now is get out of the way and tell you about this mighty man of God. We love him, Pastor Chuck Brown. He is a faithful man of God. He is a pastor. He delivers a powerful word, a message of faith, healing, and encouragement all across the nation. And he has such a unique teaching style and a dynamic delivery of the word. He blessed me last week. Glory to God. I'm telling you, go to our website. You can find out more about him. He is on Facebook. He is a musician. He is a pastor. The name of his church is Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center. God started with 16 members, and they have grown, and they have exploded. And he continues to bless the body because he cares deeply for all of his members and for all of us. He's a visionary. He's an organizer. He attended Morehouse. That's where he met his wonderful best friend, First Lady Marcia Brown, who graduated from Spelman. So without any further delay, I am going to say, God bless you, mighty man of God. Are you there, Pastor?
I am. I am. Good morning, my sister.
Good morning. Take it away.
Thank you so very much. We praise God for you and all who serve so faithfully under the visionary leadership of Dr. Vanessa, Dr. P.K. Roberts. We're grateful for all that you all do. Just a reminder, on tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock, sorry, Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, if you would like to share with me and my ministry, you can follow us on Facebook, Periscope, and we have our mobile Bible study as well that's going on at 7 o'clock p.m. And those who follow, just so I won't waste any time, you can see it, get the information off of Facebook. We'll be posting periodically throughout the day. Would love to see you get on with us, and if you have any comments or questions, you can give it to us as well. God bless. Let's get right into my assignment for this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. 1 Samuel 1, verses 12 through 18, New Living Translation. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request that you've asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. We are still in the series that we've been in since the beginning of this year, I Can't Be Stopped. I Can't Be Stopped. And it's basically an encouraging collection of lessons, and that it reminds you that whenever you feel the pressure of life bearing down on you, you're still more than a conqueror. It's here to remind you that you cannot fail unless you quit. You can't lose unless you give up. You can't be stopped unless you stop. Many people will sometimes ask me, Pastor Chuck, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but you don't understand what I'm dealing with in my life. I'm dealing with trials and tribulations unlike anything I've ever experienced before. It's difficult to push when I can't see my victory. It's difficult to push and press when I can't see my breakthrough. Sure you can. It just simply requires perseverance. As it relates to dealing with the various tribulations we face in life, we don't know how to push through discouragement. Marriages dissolve because we don't know how to push. People end their own lives because we don't know how to push. Children are abandoned, visions discarded, businesses folded, relationships destroyed because one or more of the individuals involved in these situations refuse to push. To be honest, and you probably heard me say this before, we give up too much and we give up too soon. We quit too much and we quit too soon. Right there at the brink, we throw in the towel. Race almost over and we give up. Right at the point of graduation and we surrender, never realizing that our flesh never wants us to continue in anything that will have positive effects upon our lives. So the natural response is, to adversity is for us to say whatever and go on to the next one. And the devil then has deceived many of us into thinking that we can't handle what we go through. He has us thinking that we have to accept whatever it is that we deal with as a way of life. But I refuse to accept whatever the enemy presents to me. I will never line up or have a life or accept a life that does not line up with the type of life God has promised to me. But we have to learn to endure and press through our trials and our pain and that discomfort to become who God wants us to be. Everybody, and then, you know, Christians, we all have to believe this and understand this, that all of us are going through. We're all dealing with hardships and coping with pain, and we all face deadlines. You're not alone in what it is that you're going through. In the scripture that we read, it centers around a woman named Hannah, who was in a place where she was unproductive. The Bible refers to her as being barren, could not bear children. And in that day and time, a barren woman was useless to her husband because women at that time, their value was based on the number of kids they could reproduce for their husband. Yet her husband, Elkanah, loved her. There was something about this particular woman that caused God to make use of her story. Whenever a movie or novel highlights a person enough to use their story, it signifies something special. That's why you shouldn't give up, because there's something special about the victory you're about to experience. This victory is going to help so many others who are going through the same thing that you're facing. The pain that you're overcoming is going to encourage other believers and non-believers alike who are dealing with the same thing that you're facing. Pushing past your discouragement is going to help you deliver the promise and help others realize that if they don't give up, they will deliver theirs too. I often say to my church, my ministry, that I believe God built me for tough. That is to say that I've been able to deal with a lot in life. I've had to overcome the belief that I wasn't good enough. I had to deal with and push past the limiting opinions of others regarding my abilities. Everything they said I couldn't do, I did. I can handle rumors. I can handle sickness. I can handle perceived failures. I can handle haters. I can handle the fiery thoughts of the enemy. There's not much that I cannot handle except being barren. I can't lie, it's extremely difficult for me and Mr. Human Chuck to deal with those seasons when nothing seems to be happening. I have too much vision for my life. I have too much vision for my family and my businesses and my ministry to accept periods of barrenness. I like making moves. So when I have to just sit there and sit still in my unproductivity, it does something to me. Never been a woman, but I can relate to Hannah in this regard, that I'm doing everything others are doing but seeing no results. I've pitched vision like they did but seeing no manifestation, teaching my children to be obedient, who excel at school and life, but I'm looking at other people's efforts with their kids and seeing them succeed while mine failed. Filled out job applications but still on this job that I don't like. I've inquired about the house but keep getting denied. No results, no manifestation, no change. Hannah was going through the motions of bearing kids. She didn't shy away from what it took to produce children, yet nothing happened. Who on this line this morning has ever asked the Lord, why me, God? Why is it that I have to be the poster child of failure? Why do I have to be the one who endures embarrassment? Why do I have to be the one who always experiences setbacks? And God's answer is simply, I chose you because I know you are a pusher. You have what it takes to make it. And I want everyone to know that if you can push past the discouragement, you'll deliver what God has promised you. And so this morning, just for a few moments, I want to minister pushing past discouragement so I can deliver my promise. Pushing past discouragement so I can deliver my promise. Oh, my God. God wants you to get these principles that I'm going to share with you this morning. And again, if you can push past it, you'll see God deliver that vision, the manifestation of what it is you've been believing him for. In 1 Samuel 1 and 5, the Bible is talking about Elkanah and talked about the Lord. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. The first thing you need to understand is you have to be able to push past the discouragement of delay. Push past the discouragement of delay. Who on this line enjoys being in traffic? None of us, right? We don't like being in a place where you're trying to get somewhere, but you have to deal with delays you didn't pause. Traffic slows down the progress you've been making. Here you are riding along quickly, approaching your destination, and now you have to either come to a complete stop or reduce your speed to a snail's pace because of someone else's. Delays. Delays are often identified as an enemy, but not all delays come from the enemy. I wonder how often we blame the devil for the delays we experience in our lives. I wonder how often we've laid blame at the feet of the enemy, thinking that it was his efforts that is keeping us from producing. But if you look at King James Version of this verse, verse 5 in chapter 1, it states that the Lord shut up her womb. Her barrenness was not caused by the enemy, but by God. This begs the question, why would God cause me to be barren? Why would he see all that I'm doing and cause it to produce no fruit in my life? After all, God told us to be fruitful, to multiply. He said that he's divine and we are the branches that are supposed to bring forth good fruit. But here we see that it was God that caused all of her efforts to be in vain. Why would he do that? After careful exploration, we discover that God sends us through seasons of delays when it's not our time yet. Yeah, just because you think you're ready doesn't mean you are. Another reason he sends us through seasons of delays is when he has something better for us, and we just got to learn how to trust God for that. The third reason why he sends us through seasons of delays is he's waiting for us to get in place. God will never release the promise to an individual who is out of place. So until you get in place and do what you're supposed to do, you will never receive what God has for you. Delays in your life are not a signal that God is not with you. It doesn't mean that you're going the wrong way or doing the wrong thing. Think about it this way. When you're on your way to work or you're on your way home but experience traffic, it doesn't mean that you're headed in the wrong direction, does it? No, at the same token, you can't pull to the side of the road either in your life and expect to arrive to the place that you're headed to. You got to push past delays. Verse 6, 7, it says, so Peninnah would taunt Hannah and would make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as we went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Second thing you got to push past is the discouragement of comparison. Push past the discouragement of comparison. Playing the comparison game always puts you in a state of discouragement. Always. One thing I've never read in the Word of God is for us to compare the season of the life that we're in to someone else's. Yet that's what we do. It's natural to do so. And God showed me something that we need to remember when we're in a season we don't like. I'm well-traveled. I've been to over 40 states, over 10 countries. And while traveling to South Africa the first time I went, I found out that I not only traveled to another country, but to another season. When I left America, it was summer, but when I got to South Africa, it was winter. The northern hemisphere is in direct contrast to the southern hemisphere as it relates to seasons. That means that while we're experiencing winter, countries to the south of us or on the other side of the earth are experiencing summer and vice versa. But if I get caught up in the season that they're in, I can die because I only need to worry about the season that I'm presently in and what I'm doing. Comparing seasons takes your focus off of where you are and places it on someone else. The danger in doing this is you won't do what you have to do in the only place you have true control over, and that's in your life, and you'll spend fruitless time thinking about things you have absolutely no control of other people's lives. Hannah's adversary was having all of these children, but she couldn't even have one. Her competition couldn't stop getting blessed while she suffered the embarrassment of barrenness. Getting caught up in how God is blessing other folk will discourage you. Crying over the fact that you don't have who, what such and such has will discourage you. Your walk with God is your walk with God. Your journey through life is your journey. Your destiny is your destiny. Your promise is your promise. That means that you must look at your situation as an individual affair. Don't play the comparison game. I stopped doing that to myself because it'll drive you crazy to the point of quitting. You'll say things like, I put in just as much work as her, and she got promoted. I do more than he does, yet he makes more than me. I preach and teach just as well as this pastor. I sing better than this artist. And they're getting all of these accolades while nobody notices me. Playing the comparison game turns you into a bitter, mean hater. And instead of rejoicing when others rejoice, you get mad that they're in their time of harvest while you're in a season of sowing. Don't do that to yourself. Push past the discouragement of comparison. And this is how I learned to do it. I started to tell myself, my turn is coming. The reason why I'm not a hater is because my season is coming. The reason I haven't quit and given up is because the more I see y'all blessed, the shorter the line becomes. And I can see me getting closer to my place of breakthrough. I can see me getting closer to my place of promise. I see me living better, doing better, and thriving in life. I can rejoice with you because I'm next in line for what it is that God has for me. Back in what we read in verse 13, the Bible goes on to say that seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she might have been drinking. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. Number three, push past the discouragement of other people's opinions. Push past the discouragement of other people's opinions. You have to understand the mind of Hannah. Not only was she barren and unproductive and ineffective, not only were the people around her taunting her because she could not produce in life, but she had to also deal with the opinions of others. And having to cope with that is easier said than done. Hannah's husband, Elkanah, he tried to make the best out of this bad situation, treated her well, but could not understand why she was so unhappy. Her antagonist kept throwing her insufficiencies in her face, and her husband couldn't understand her tears because he didn't understand her purpose. In verse 8, he asked her, why are you tripping? Why are you depressed because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? There are people who truly love and support you who don't understand your tears. He didn't mean anything bad by what he said. He actually meant well, but it's like those folk who see you fail to accomplish something and then tell you stuff like, well, maybe it ain't meant to be. I know you're trying to encourage me, but that's from the pits of hell because I know what God promised me. You just don't get it. You don't understand that when I don't have the support, I'm not happy. When I'm single and want to be married, I'm not happy being single. If I want children, I can't have them. I'm not happy without them. I'm not satisfied with mediocrity. I will never be happy or satisfied walking outside of my purpose. Now what does she do? She cried and nothing happened. She wallowed in depression and self-pity to no avail. She even received encouragement from her husband but was no closer to her happiness. Now she goes to God to pray, and the preacher calls her drunk. She's dealt with the opinion of her haters. She's dealt with the encouragement that worked against her from her husband, but now she comes to church praying about her situation and has to endure the looks of those who don't understand. She couldn't care less about their opinions. Check this out. Whenever you push past folk, you look crazy to them. How many times have you stayed in an unfavorable situation that you know God didn't tell you to move from, only to hear people say, you crazy for staying? Yeah, you've been in a stormy relationship, and they go, oh, girl, you crazy for staying in that. But walking by faith and not by sight always looks crazy to doubters. Looking to the hill from which comes your help, it always looks crazy to those who look to themselves when they're in trouble. Praying in persecution always looks crazy to those who are worrywarts. Stepping out the boat to meet Jesus always looks crazy to those who are afraid to rock the boat. She's praying, she's crying out to God, and because she ain't gone through the motions of that pretty prayer that all y'all like to pray, they say she's drunk. I tell you what, ain't no prayer like the prayer of a person who's really going through. You don't have time to be politically correct. You don't have time to be cute. You don't have time to be proper. I'm pushing past everything I've been through so that I can finally get my breakthrough. And I don't care if you don't don't understand my praise. I don't care if I bother you right now. You don't like it, you got to go somewhere else. Stay out of my life. But when you're going through barren times, you can't worry about whatever anyone else says or what they think. You got to do whatever you have to do to get yours. But what I need God to do for me, I'm not worried about anybody or their opinion of me. Finally, verse 17, it says, in that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you've asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back. Watch this. She went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Here, number four, I'm going to quickly go through this. Number four, you know you've pushed past discouragement when your behavior lines up with your faith. You know you've pushed past discouragement when your behavior lines up with your faith. I'm going to say something that I say almost every week on this call. When you give it to God, you got to give it to him and leave it alone. Give it to him and leave it alone. She wasn't sad anymore when she really gave it to God. Before that, if you notice, she was begging and begging and begging. And now she believed that what she was praying was going to happen, so she left it alone, and that's when it happened. What we do is act like we've given it to God, but then we still secretly worry about it or cry about it or get sick about it or paranoid or paralyzed or stressed and panic attacks. But God is looking for somebody who will have faith enough to believe that what he said will happen will actually happen without stressing about it, without having anxiety about it. When you give it to God, give it to him and leave it with him. You won't deliver your promise until your behavior lines up with your faith. If you see you have the victory, then act like you have the victory. If you say that you're an overcomer, then act like an overcomer. If you say that you've broken through, then act like you have the breakthrough. If you say you made it out, then act like you made it out. Act like you've already received it, and watch what God does in your life. Push past discouragement so that you can deliver the promise of God in your life. I pray that this word inspired you and bless you this morning. May God's best be upon you. We love you with God's love. Turning the call back over.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck, for that powerful word. We bless you and we honor you, mighty man of God. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you and we honor you, Lord. We thank you for the word that has come forward this day, this word of encouragement, this word of correction, this word, Father God, that each one of us have to listen to again and ensure that we're doing everything that you have called us to do, because we want to make sure we're pushing past discouragement of delay. We are pushing past being compared to someone else. We are pushing past the opinions of others because you created us and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So, Lord God, we thank you as Pastor Chuck goes forward, Father, and he continues to send your word forward and encourage others, and he imparts this word into the lives of his ministry, into the lives of those whose path he crosses. And, Father, just like he put it into our lives, we thank you for giving us this man of God. And, Lord, I lift up those individuals, Father God, who have had a loved one who has transitioned home. We thank you for being the God of peace. We know, Lord, that you will comfort them. We know, Lord, that you are sending men and women to surround them. We know that weeping, yes, they will weep, Father, but joy is coming in the morning. So, Father, we thank you because we lifted them up in prayer. Your word has gone forward. Your word is not going to return void unto you. It's accomplishing every single thing in each one of their lives, Father God. And they, too, will laugh again, and they'll remember their loved ones, the good things about them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you being the healer, you, Lord Jesus, took sickness away from us. We lift up all of those, Lord God, who have been sick, who are being challenged, Father. Everything has a name, and it has to bow to the authority of Jesus. So high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cancer, diabetes, lupus, depression, all of these things, Father God, must bow to the name of Jesus, because he himself took sickness away from them. He bore sickness on his body so that they can be whole, because healing belongs to the children. So we thank you. It is the children's bread, and we say yes and amen to your word. We speak it, we believe it, we decree it, and it is going forward in Jesus' name. Well, family members, let me go ahead and give you the replay number if you want to listen to this awesome message again. You can dial 712-432-1085. The PIN code 957-677-POUND. Go ahead and get on the new morning motivational call. We have our conference that is approaching in a couple of weeks, February 16th and 17th in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're going to tell you more about that. That number is 641-715-3865, PIN code 539-598-POUND. Minister Cynthia, thank you for being a blessing to the body of Christ in this call. Thank you for greeting them. Thank you for seating them. Thank you for opening us up in prayer. Pastor Chuck, you rock. You are awesome. We love you. We bless you. Go ahead, mighty man of God, and continue doing what God has called you to do, because you are a living epistle being read by all men. We say, family, have a blessed day. Until tomorrow, bye-bye.
Pastor Chuck, could you close us in prayer?
I closed us, Dr. Vanessa.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.